Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL DUN and today you're here for Game Week 28 Super Early Preview ahead of the FA Cup weekend action before the end of Game Week 27 because West Ham versus whoever they're playing, Leicester, is on later today, tonight, UK, early morning for us in Australia. But I'm up and about. I'm inside the top 5,000 for the first time ever in an FPL season and realistically, that might change. I might drop outside the 5,000 because we've still got Jared Bowen to come and Wan-Bissaka, and that's about it. But other than those two players, I'm looking pretty good. And here we're here to talk and take a super early look at Game Week 28. But without further ado, we've gone from 600 to 650 subs in like the last 3 days. Keep it going. Please smash the subscribe button. Please continue to like the video. Share it with your friends in that. And without further ado, let's jump into it. So, Game Week 27, current notes, where are we at? What are we looking for? What have I seen? Well, table bonus. I've been saying it all season long. Ever since this chip got announced, on the deadline day stream, I said, so many people came in and said, who do I move my assistant manager to? And then some people had left on Emery, and I was like, just get in Oliver Glasner. If you had Oliver Glasner last week, you keep on Oliver Glasner. Crystal Palace are an amazing form at the moment. Mateta just keeps scoring goals. Is Mali Assar, where the hell has he been? He has come back and absolutely dominated this game week. And there's so much to get excited about. King Glasner, he's just a king. He will become the Table Bonus King. Last season, we should know this. Last season, he put together the best three-game stretch if he didn't move any manager all season. It's not a surprise that he's dominating again. You wouldn't bet against him in Game Week 28. Also, if you haven't played your assistant manager chip, we'll talk about chip strategy next week in Wednesday's video. You hold it until Oliver Glasner has that double game week against Newcastle and Manchester City. Like, he'll have two shots of table bonus in the 1 week. That's when you play it. Like, legit, that is when you play it. What a man, though. Obviously, lots of people went to Pereira thinking that Wolves are going to be doing good. I did say on the deadline day stream, though, that Fulham are way better, a bit like Palace, away from home, turned out to be the case. They even rotated pretty much all their teams so they could beat Man United in the FA Cup this weekend, but they still got the job done. And Wolves aren't as good as Crystal Palace. And other managers disappoint. The other thing I will say on this is if Crystal Palace keep winning, they're not going to have table bonus against many teams for much longer. And then we're looking at teams like Tottenham, like Man United. Realistically, the most better chances down there are probably going to be Brentford and West Ham because they actually look like they've got half a clue about how to play football. Tottenham and Man United are just too much of a... They're a bit like Wolves. And betting on Leicester and Ipswich and teams like this, it's just not worth the hassle, really. So, yeah, I feel like the table bonus is going to quickly dry out. Those relegated teams, they might even be relegated within the next couple of weeks. They're that far adrift. Man United are now safe, FYI, 16 points up. João Pedro continues to rise from the ash yet again. But where's this been? That's back-to-back hauls for him. I don't even know if anyone even started him. But the good news is if you had Isak, and we'll talk about Isak in a little bit, you probably got his points off the bench. So, you know, João Pedro delivered finally for his owners. 8 points on the bench. Everyone loves that. And the Brentford boys continue to repay the faith. I said I was going to hold Wissa if he continues to score. Well, he scored yet again. Cunha blank. So thank God I didn't make that transfer. And look, I'm pretty happy. Like the last 2 weeks, 9-5 overnights and 14 points. And last week it was 8-14, 22. So like I'm pretty damn happy with the boys. We've got Aston Villa who don't travel away well from home in terms of keeping clean sheets. So it's looking pretty good. Like Game Week 28, I don't think I'll make a move either. Maybe in Game Week 29, I really do want Cunha, but I don't think I'm selling Isak still. So it's like, in reality, it's still a move I'm looking to do in 29. I've got the extra transfer to do it as well. Bruno Fernandes, thank you last week for scoring 10 points on my bench. This week, the week I needed you to score 10 points, you scored 10 points. So that's very exciting. I'm very, very, very happy about that. It's always exciting to talk about one of my own players. And thankfully, Captain Bruno just put literally the entire team on his back and said, stuff this. I'll run all over the grass. I'll cover every single blade. How he didn't get 3 bonus points is beyond me because he did more than anyone else on that team yesterday and the sole reason why we actually delivered a win. 3 brilliant pieces of delivery. He was great. He was absolutely great. I absolutely loved what I saw there. Mass rotations, though, were a problem. Like, teams obviously not used to playing in midweek, and we did see some rotation, and that affected a few people's scores. And, yeah, it was a really interesting game week from that perspective. Bournemouth disappoint again. Like, what's going on there? They seem to start being conceding sloppy goals. They conceded twice here to Brighton, which wasn't ideal. If you own Hoidson, you weren't very happy. If you own Kirkez, like me, you're slightly more happier. He got an assist at least. And Justin, I always call him Patrick. Justin Kluivert got a goal, so I'm pretty happy with that. I got 2 10-pointers in my midfield. That was pretty good for me. Reason why I'm sitting there on a green arrow, right, is because of my midfield more than anything else. The Haaland returns from injury. And he got a goal. He got 9 points, I think. I haven't completely double-checked that. I might have just made that last bit up. But I saw him score, and he was pretty unlucky not to have a second goal, and that would have been a 13-pointer for the Haaland. Foden obviously started on the bench. FYI, if anyone's interested in playing him, I'm not sure why he started on the bench, but he came on. He looked pretty good. He should have had an assist, but it is what it is. Isak obviously missed out, though, for injury, which is something to monitor. And I did say that I liked the Liverpool double up in defence this week because I just didn't think Newcastle were going to show up. And it turns out they didn't. Bar a Callum Wilson chance, they barely had a shot that I can really recall that looked like it was going to trouble Alisson Becker. And so my double up Liverpool defence has been definitely carrying the team, made up for the fact that Milinkovic was on my bench. We'll look at that in a little bit. But yeah, Isak is concerning. How long is that injury going to keep him out for? Realistically, I think they were just resting him this week, and Eddie Howe just said he missed out with a groin. Also, it gave Callum Wilson some minutes, and I don't think they ever really wanted to win this game. If there's a game they wanted to win, it's the Carabao Cup final against Liverpool, and as I said, that was my reasoning behind benching Isak and Hall in the first place, is because of the fact I thought that they wouldn't want to win this game. In the end, my benching decision didn't make any difference, but I think I would have been vindicated if Isak had started. I reckon he would have blanked in this game. And everyone that benched Isak and had Rodgers on their bench, Ismaili Assar on their bench, all these other amazing players. The week where I had Chris Wood 17 points on my bench, why couldn't someone have missed that week? That's all I'll say on it. I keep going back to that. It's my worst decision of the season in terms of benchings. So the title race is officially over. Like, it's over. Like, Arsenal can't score a goal to save themselves. Nottingham Forest, well, ditto. Chris Wood, unbelievably, was not inevitable this week. He did look at certain points like he was going to score in this game, but Arsenal's defence is elite, and they definitely shut him out. And I feel like the way they defend definitely is not ideal for Chris Wood. But does this mean they start resting players? Like, Southampton next week, like, we'll talk, look at the captaincy debate in a minute and how it went this game week, because I haven't written in the notes because I'm going to go into a significant depth into it. But the fact that it's Southampton, they've got PSG either side of that Southampton game. Unless Liverpool blow PSG away in the first leg, I don't know if captaining Salah is a good play this week. And it might be that Trent gets rotated as well. It's one of those things that you definitely have to watch out for. The good news is they're not playing in the FA Cup this weekend, so at least they've got a week between now and PSG, which may mean that we don't have that kind of rotation to worry about. But it's definitely going to be a factor the longer they go in the Champions League, especially if the title's over in the next three or four weeks. Also, how bad is the Arsenal attack without their stars? Put them in the bin, mate. Wanyeri, what a dumb move that was to anyone that went there. The dude is 18, doesn't look like really scoring a goal. I saw him have one half chance. He just didn't really know what to do with it. And Trossard, without Havertz, without Saka, I just think Arsenal are going to fall away. I actually think Man City will probably end up finishing second with the stretch run they've got going on moving forward. So, on to my man Bruno Fernandes. I just wanted to give him a shout-out. Like, last week, I was super annoyed that he kept 10 points on the bench. Like, 10 points on the bench was highly frustrating. I didn't expect him to score. Man United are not playing well. And let's not be kidding ourselves. The team itself didn't play well. Andre Onana is the biggest clown of a goalkeeper you've ever seen in your life. If you own him in fantasy, do yourself a favour and him a favour. Get him out of your team because in reality, he needs to be benched. Not only in your FPL teams and sold, but he needs to be sold and benched by Manchester United because he's an absolute clown. Why they conceded 2 goals? Just look at Andre Onana. He's just a joke. But other than that, Bruno Fernandes, this is what I'm talking about. 2 assists here. He literally... He was unlucky to get 3, really. All 3 goals were from his brilliant free kicks, corners, set pieces, whatever you want to call it. Bruno was there. How he only got two bonus points, I'll never know. But two assists from only an expected goal involvement from 0.3. You'll take that all day long. He was fantastic. Manchester United, if they are moving forward, they need to build a team that best gets Fernandes closer to goal, creating the chances. The problem is, I think Bruno would have more assists, but he's just got idiots in front of him that can't finish a biscuit. Like, Garnacho just keeps making the wrong moves whenever he plays him in. Hoyland is pretty much another defender at this point. So it's really on Bruno to do anything in this team. So if you want a Man United asset, it's Bruno or it's no one. That's essentially what you need to learn from this. And moving forward, I'm glad I've got him for game week 29. I'm hoping he can do another 10 points that week. Against Arsenal, not expecting much, but you never know. Arsenal don't score many goals either, so he might get 3 points. So on to the captaincy choice. Now, this was a very interesting question. Everyone brought it up, and the stats and everything just really interesting. Neither of these guys got bonus. Mo Salah was pretty close, 22 on the bonus point system. Cole Palmer, obviously, when you win a game 4-0 and you don't get involved in any of the goals, you're not going to be in the bonus point system any higher up, even though the XGI is like one-sided in this contest. Like, Cole Palmer had an expected goal involvement at 1.4. 1.2 of it was expected goals. Like, he should have scored, but his confidence is rock bottom. Now, I'd watched the last couple of Chelsea games, like a fair bit of them, and I never thought about captaining Cole Palmer. The dude is not in form. I don't think Chelsea are in form either, and if they played anyone other than Southampton, I reckon he probably would have blanked as well. And he did blank. 3 points. He got a clean sheet point. Whoop-de-doo. I think this probably settles the debate. Mo Salah, obviously, as I talked about, has Southampton. Do they rest him? He just doesn't get rested. He's having an all-time GOAT season. He's having a bit of an all-time GOAT season, like my FPL season in terms of my rank at the moment. 6 points, obviously he didn't blank. He got one assist. It was unfortunate. Late on, it looked like Mo Salah was going to... He got through to the position where he normally scores from, and he actually hit a bit of a tame shot, which was kind of disappointing. He was actually... If that had gone in, it would have been a massive swing. It would have been another five, another three. It would have been 8 points. 14 points to three it would have been if that goal had gone in. So, like, I just think you've got to back in the man that's in form. Like, the fixtures this week, Cole Palmer versus Leicester at home, Mo Salah versus Southampton at home, would suggest that they're pretty even fixtures. But I think in this case, you've just got to back the man that's getting the job done. And it's just not worth the hassle. Unless you're chasing massive rank and you're like 1 million, 2 million, things like this, or you like really need to make up some ground in your mini leagues, it makes no sense to go against the man at the moment. He's just a freak of nature. And as you can see there, 0.47 expected goal involvement, he gets his one assist. Like, he literally doesn't need much to get something, to get a return in the majority of his games. Obviously fell below his normal margin of 10 points per game, but you're going to take 6 over 3 every single day. It's just lucky for Cole Palmer captainers that Salah had a little bit of an off night, I would suggest, in terms of the way they did. And they kind of played within themselves in the second half. They didn't really push the game too much, so that was something I noticed in the second half as well. So, look at this is just unfortunate, but I just want to show, like, the key behind assistant managers. You actively have to look at the fixture and weigh up the benefit of chasing the table bonus. Now, some weeks, there just isn't a good manager. Like, the David Moyes made a lot of sense. You had a free fixture, and then you had a free shot at Liverpool. If that had just been against Liverpool, I would never have played it on David Moyes. Ditto against Unai Emery. The banker fixture was there, and then you had the free hit kind of on top of that. Like, outside of those two, I would never have picked either of those two managers versus Liverpool, probably the hardest team you're going to play against in the league. They're top for a reason, right? But Oliver Glasner made so much more sense. Like, he played Fulham not too many spots above them in the table, and then again, played Aston Villa not too many spots above them in the table. Like, there was a significant chance of getting results. And he did. He got 2 wins. This time he spanked them 4-1. 4 goals for the 4 goals scored. 16 points for the win. 20 points again. The man is a legend. The man is a living legend. He is the king of the assistant manager. If the chip was available from the start of the season, Crystal Palace are probably winning the league. That's how good he is on this chip. Pereira, on the other hand, cost exactly the same amount of money. Obviously conceded an early goal. Then they equalised, 1-1, and you thought, oh, there could be a chance here. But unfortunately, Wolves are down the bottom of the table for a reason. Like the four bottom clubs are Wolves, Leicester, Ipswich and Southampton. I don't realistically think that playing the chip on any of those managers makes a hell of a lot of sense. Like they're the bottom four teams for a reason. Wolves are definitely better than the bottom three, but I think moving forward, you just have to think about it. If you are going to chase that table bonus, which I still encourage everyone to do, just look at the fixture and pick the one that's most likely to win. It was very obvious that Glasner was the clear pick. Don't sit there starting getting cute and going for Pereira and Ange Postecoglou when you never know what's going to show up from week to week. So, on my early transfer plans for game week 28, and it is still Alexander-Arnold slash Hall out for Aitnori. As you can see there, they've got Everton at home now. I haven't updated the fixtures because I just really wanted to get this video out before the weekend so people had some sort of idea to what to look out for in the FA Cup. But realistically, I'm not even sure I want Aitnori anymore. Like, I just watched the Wolves, the way they defend, and, like, they probably can see goals, and I'm not sure he's as attacking as I want him to be. And I have been burnt by him earlier in the season already, even though I owned him for a significant amount and just expected more. He just didn't deliver more. But I still need to get rid of one of Alexander-Arnold and one of Hall. Now, the way Alexander-Arnold's played the last three game weeks, it's going to be hard to move him out, not going to lie. But I've still got more value tied up in Hall, so it still makes more sense to sell Trent. Unless he goes up to 7.5, then it becomes a much more even conversation. I just don't know if I want him. I still don't rate him. I still don't think he's worth 7.4, 7.5 million, whatever he's worth. I still don't think he's that good that you need to have him. But the problem is I don't know where else I'd spend that money in my squad at the moment outside of upgrading Clivett to Bowen, and I can do that by just moving Hall instead. So that's kind of where I'm at. The other transfer I am looking at is just moving Fabianski for either Areola or Saar. And then I'll keep Becker. Becker's been amazing, so I don't really want to move him. But again, I am concerned about the fact that Liverpool potentially might start resting players the closer they get to the end of the league and then just saving them for the Champions League. So this is a problem. Maybe I don't want to keep Becker because of that very reason. It's just going to be one of them weird ones. I think the end of the season is going to throw up some weird results because the title's going to be over and the top four is pretty much just going to be a lock for most of them. It's something to keep in mind. And I wonder how the end of the season is going to play out. I think it's going to be a pretty tricky end of the season in terms of wondering where we go to from here. So, onto my team and how it went in game week 27. I almost lost track of which game week we're in. That's amazing. So, look, the one decision I got wrong was Robinson on field over Milinkovic. And I did think about this in the deadline stream, right? I was saying that I just can't see Arsenal scoring. Turns out I was bang on the money. They couldn't score. Forrest couldn't score either, though. So, in reality, maybe it should have been Wood being benched for Isak, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway because Isak was going to be on the bench regardless because he obviously didn't play. But Milinkovic, maybe I should have seen that over Robinson. I did think it was a harder fixture and he was the one I was weighing up whether to bench for Milinkovic. Turns out that was the only thing I got wrong. But this week, thankfully, I'm not leaving 24 points on the bench. It's just 6. So that's pretty damn good. I'll take that all day long. So Liverpool double defence is absolutely killing it. 13 points back there again. It was definitely the correct call back in the day when everyone went for Gakpo instead. Other than that Ipswich game, Gakpo's done nothing and got one assist in that time. In the same time, Alisson and Trent have combined for a stupid amount of points in comparison to whatever Gakpo would have got. So I'm pretty damn happy with the way that's worked out and happy to see it through to game week 29. Game week 28, I'll be playing them both, no problems at all. Kirk has obviously got an assist, but it was disappointing. He conceded twice. Robinson, obviously, hugely disappointing. Started on the bench and part of the rotation of Fulham's lineup, obviously in preparation for the FA Cup. And then, he came on. He could have had an assist if Raul could finish because it was actually a really good ball. Then he gets himself booked at the 90th minute plus 4 minutes. 94th minute of the game, he gets himself booked. What is he doing? Ah, that was frustrating. 1 point would have been better than none, but none it is. Cole Palmer, obviously, maybe I can see why people were selling him now. He's so out of form, it's not even funny. At least he got 3 points, better than Nout. Mo Salah, obviously the captain, 12 points. Disappointing in comparison to what he's been the last few weeks, but he still returns, still better than picking Palmer as captain. And realistically, he's probably going to be the captain against Southampton at home as well. I mean, he could easily score a hat-trick in that game, right? Provided he plays it. And Mbeumo, 5 points. Obviously got the assist off a long throw, which was interesting in and of itself. Disappointing to concede. disappointing not to get more, but Everton are a really good defence, so I shouldn't be complaining too much that both of my Brentford boys returned. It's not a bad result. Clivert, obviously, massive haul. One goal, three bonus, two appearance points, 10 points. That's beautiful. That's the kind of performance that I expect. Not the one I got last week. Obviously, we're down to 10 men. That was pretty impressive. And that's now two returns, a goal and an assist in the 3 weeks I've owned him. And I've played him on the field every single week. So I'm pretty happy with that. Bruno Fernandes, as I said, stepped up off the bench. He knew the D units team needed a kick in the right direction. And he knew that if he wanted to stay in the team long term, he had to deliver in these weeks when he was going to be getting played. And he delivered with a massive 10 points. Now, lots of people probably went for Jarrod Bowen. As long as Jarrod Bowen doesn't get above 10 points, it's a transfer that I'm glad I didn't make. Because I actually did look at getting rid of Clivert for Bowen and taking a minus four and moving out Trent or Hall. But at the moment, I'm very glad I didn't, because both my two midfielders that realistically would have been there for Bowen both returned with 10 points. Realistically, moving forward, it could be Palmer that drops out for Bowen. And I might just change up like the midfield. I might go a bit more expensive in defence. Guardiola's obviously a player I'm looking at. Or it could be a Phil Foden that comes in for Palmer. I'm not sure. That, like, these are the things I'm thinking about. And obviously Wissa, 9 points, back-to-back goals and back-to-back weeks. That's what I'm talking about. I had another goal ruled out, by the way, for offside. So that was unlucky. But unfortunately, the goalkeeper just rushed out and there was nothing he can do. He did stay onside in terms of the defender. It's just the goalkeeper had gone past him. So, and then Wood, the inevitable Wood, he blanked. He was the only player with Cole Palmer and Robinson to blank in the team. So, like, it's not a massive score, but it's a nice, well-rounded score. And as I said, at the moment, it's got me in from 6,686 to 4,306. That's my current game week rank. That's prior to Bowen, and that's prior to Wan-Bissaka and anyone else weird that someone's got in their team. So in reality, it should mean I stay within the top 5,000, but it probably does mean I'm going to drop a couple of hundred spots overnight, which is, realistically, that's probably going to happen. In terms of the top game week score for the round, it's going to be Fenham. He played it as assistant manager after listening to me in the deadline stream on Oliver Glasner. So well done to him. He got a massive 20 points, which is why he's over 80 points there. And then we now have a new leader in the league, Shah Cash with me. He's leading the way with 1,977 points. So well done to him for joining and taking over at the top of the league. I think he's inside the top 1,000 teams as well. So I've got a few points to get to in order to catch him, but I am heading in the right track. So there, that's it pretty much. That's how the team went. So the things that we need to be watching out for this particular game week is the FA Cup action. That is going to be happening all weekend. So Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and probably Tuesday night, knowing the way the fixtures are. I haven't actually looked that far ahead, but there will definitely be those four nights. It'll be interesting to see if any more Premier League teams lose to teams outside of the Premier League, but there are a number of Premier League clashes. So Manchester United play Fulham. We'll know a bit more about the fixtures that will be blanking in 34 and potentially doubling in 33 post this weekend. That is something to keep in mind. I will be covering that in an updated preview on Monday, so keep your eyes out for that and anything from tonight's result as well. But let me know anything in the comments. Let me know how you went. Let me know if you are on a green arrow or if you unfortunately are on a red arrow. And please tell me that if you were on your assistant manager chip, you went with Oliver Glasner. Thanks for joining me. Have a nice weekend watching the FA Cup action. And I'll see you back on Monday or Tuesday for my next video. That's been the D Unit. Make sure you like and make sure you sub if you haven't already. Thank you.